Let's talk about 128 bytes. Not megabytes, not kilobytes, just bytes.
Right.
I mean, that is roughly the data size of a single short text message. Yet, in 1977, that was the entire working RAM of the Atari 2600 console.
Yeah, which makes the sheer volume of data in today's subject technically impossible, at least by modern programming logic.
Completely impossible. Well, welcome to the deep dive. We are digging through developer blogs, reviews, and visual archives covering... Oh, shoot.
Such a great name.
It really is. It's this massive, critically acclaimed homebrew game built in 2025 by Philip Meyer. We are looking at how a developer took a modern game design philosophy and crammed it onto a console released nearly 50 years ago.
And he really bridged the generational gaming gap in the process, too.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with a gameplay loop that makes this title so highly praised.
Definitely. And the most striking thing jumping out of these reviews isn't just the nostalgia factor. It's a hyper-fast PvP arena shooter.
Right.
You play to 20 or 40 points, but it strips away player choice in a really clever way.
Yeah, you don't even get to pick your loadout. Like, every single round, the game randomly assigns you one of four ships.
Exactly. You might spawn as a short-range helicopter, or suddenly you're flying a UFO shooting these wavy tracking projectiles.
It's pure chaos.
Yeah.
It feels like the classic game combat, but played on fast-forward with a randomizer just strapped to the controls.
What's fascinating here is the social engineering behind that randomness. Usually in arena shooters, the veteran player just memorizes the mechanics and crushes the newcomer.
Oh yeah, they lock down the map entirely.
Right. But by forcing you into a random ship every round and pairing that with a toggleable AI assistance feature, Meyer artificially shrinks the skill gap.
Wait, AI assistance on an Atari?
Yeah, it literally physically steers newer players away from hitting walls. So a kid playing against a retro gaming veteran suddenly has a legitimate fighting chance.
That is so cool. But keeping that adrenaline high requires environmental variety, which brings us to the game's most mind-boggling technical achievement.
The maps.
The maps. Looking at the visual collage in Meyer's dev logs, he squeezed 1,024 unique, shifting screens into this game.
Yeah, and the screenshots show these vivid horizontal bands of pink, green, and blue. You can see pixelated shapes like castles, faces, spiders.
But I have to stop you here, because the math simply does not compute.
It doesn't seem to, no.
Why put yourself through the absolute nightmare of programming with only 128 bytes of RAM when modern engines exist? A 32-kilobyte cartridge cannot hold 1,024 drawn maps. A single modern texture is larger than that.
Oh, easily.
So how is he physically bypassing the limits of the console?
Well, he's not storing images. He's doing real-time math. With the Atari, you don't have a video buffer. You literally have to race the beam.
Oh, right. Sending code to the television set line by line as the cathode ray tube physically draws the picture.
Exactly. Meyer uses procedural generation. Instead of saving a completed map in the memory, he saves a tiny mathematical equation, a seed. When a new round starts, the code calculates the layout on the fly, building the arena just nanoseconds ahead of the TV beam drawing it.
So it's like having a chef who doesn't have a pantry large enough to store 1,024 baked cakes.
Right.
Instead, he just memorized 1,024 tiny recipes, and he's baking the cake in real time, slice by slice, exactly as you're eating it.
That is the perfect way to visualize it.
Oh, yeah.
And stripping away those modern crutches led to pure gameplay innovation. Because he eliminated the massive memory burden of storing static maps, he freed up processing power for the game's best mechanic.
The teleporting.
Instant teleportation. The second a point is scored, you are warped to a completely new, procedurally generated arena. You never have time to learn the map, you just react.
That completely explains the manic pacing. But beyond the core technical feats, the developer layered in all these modern quality-of-life touches and secrets.
Oh yeah, he stuffed that tiny cartridge. The game has 48 different modes, auto-scrolling options, and some wildly creative Easter eggs.
Like pressing right on the joystick on the title screen completely scrambles the game's variables.
Or holding the reset button to hypercycle through all 1,024 maps in a blur. He even programmed functionality for the original console's physical black and white switch.
Who even touches that switch anymore?
Nobody. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, Meyer is taking modern gaming sensibilities, you know, our expectation of deep customization and toggles, and reverse engineering them for a machine built before the internet.
Right.
He profoundly respects the tactile history of the hardware while providing a distinctly modern, highly customizable user experience.
Which gives you a huge takeaway as a listener. You just don't need photorealistic graphics for an intensely replayable experience.
Not at all. Sometimes rigid boundaries are exactly what spark the most joy.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder if a console from 1977 still has hidden undiscovered potential waiting to be unlocked nearly 50 years later, what untapped magic might be hiding in the obsolete technology we so quickly discard today?